Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. It is, in fact, the biggest public health initiative in a generation, and I can assure all noble lords it will save lives. Citation needed. We've got that story plus, Freemason Mossad murder trials. But first, Palantir issues ominous corporate manifesto, grabbing this from Futurism.com. Military and intelligence contractor, at the very least, Palantir, has long struggled to beat the allegations of enabling an Orwellian surveillance state on behalf of the Pentagon, which no one thinks was being built the previous 25 years. It all just started being built in the last few years because Orange Man's bad. The Alex Karp-led company has received huge sums in federal funding to build out a surveillance platform for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the hated ICE, along with countless other contracts for military operations, policing, and border enforcement. This sounds like those asses at Blackwater, but it's a new century. Not just with the U.S., but of course with the Israeli military and U.K. government as well. Just in case its broader mission to supercharge national security using cutting-edge spying was too opaque, Karp penned a 320-page tome entitled The Technological Republic, Hard Power, Soft Belief, and the Future of the West. Eat your heart out, Brzezinski. Karp calls for national service to be universal duty. That was a bad thing when Obama called for national service. And for the undoing of the post-war neutering of Germany and Japan. He also calls for hard power at the expense of moral appeal and opines that people shouldn't look to the political arena to nourish their soul and sense of self. Also very popular the last 10 years. Meanwhile, it calls for the West to shed any sense of inclusivity by resisting the shallow temptation of a vacant and hollow pluralism, closely echoing the far right's repeated calls to end what it calls woke, essentially inclusive and anti-discriminatory beliefs. The book also argues that the New World Order, not capitalized, will inevitably be determined by software and AI-driven warfare, and that violent crime needs to be solved by Silicon Valley itself. In reality, of course, violent crime has been falling for decades, until the scamdemic. It's a terrifyingly unambiguous rendition of Karp's worldview that, given his reputation as the scariest CEO in the world, shouldn't come as much of a surprise. From supporting deportations carried out by ICE to developing software for autonomous strike drones that's being used in Iran to select targets, he and his company have long been shrouded in controversy, of course, while Obama gets a free pass for killer flying death drones. Meanwhile, even former employees often struggle to explain what the Peter Thiel co-founded software firm actually does, as reported by Condé Nast's Wired last year. In an open letter published last year, several months after Karp's book was released, a group of former workers warned that Palantir's leadership has abandoned its founding ideals, and that its original promises of protecting against discrimination and disinformation, quote, have now been violated and are rapidly being dismantled at Palantir Technologies and across Silicon Valley, end quote. Protesters also recently staged a die-in by collapsing on the pavement in front of Palantir's offices while brandishing signs with slogans such as Palantir, ICE, and War Enabler and Profiteer. Strangely, it had zero effect. Karp's inscrutable personality has also drawn plenty of attention. Earlier this year, he acted erratically and notably struggled to stay seated during an interview. I think that guy's on drugs. Kicking off rumors that he was under the influence of drugs, because if you don't sit there like a drone, you must be a crazy person. The billionaire has previously joked that working at Palantir can feel like a cult, except with no sex and very little drugs. And unfortunately, that sounds like Gen Z in a nutshell. Techno-fascism, why Palantir's pro-West manifesto has critics alarmed. James, we return to the eye.
Well, James, if anyone out there does have that question about what Palantir actually does, boy, have I got an editorial for you. It's called What Does Palantir Actually Do? I wrote it last year in a handy-dandy explainer format so that people can find out a little bit more about this company and what it actually does. But I think the temptation with a story like this one is to take it seriously at face value and to start evaluating the various points that are being proposed here by Palantir in their manifesto. And you come up with some strange takes. I saw a Zero Hedge article on this that was like, yeah, Palantir is crushing those wokesters with their brave new philosophy or something. Whatever, just bizarre bad hot takes like that. Although I must admit, the best thing to come out of that article, one of the commenters called it "mine carp," which I thought was a funny little epithet. But no, I think we have to interrogate the reason that this we are looking at this at all. Why does anyone care what this company is saying about the way the world and America and the empire should be run? It's because it is at the seat of the deep state that is the real heart of what the MAGA that is infesting the Oval Office right now. This is where the real power is coming from. It's Thiel and the Thielverse. So if people don't understand that, then they won't understand what this type of manifesto really is about or why it matters. Because, yeah, we are not taking our deep philosophical thoughts from this carp maniac. And for people who haven't seen the video of him, not just being, you know, a bit anxious or something, but literally crazed, screaming, frothing at the mouth, getting out of his seat to talk about how much he liked, how proud he is about Palantir killing people. It is truly bizarre, truly bizarre. So I'll throw a link in for people who haven't seen that yet. But anyway, that's the kind of philosophical mastermind that we're supposed to be taking, you know, our cue from for the future of humanity. No thanks. But the real question is, why does an absolute maniac like that have any power at all? And the answer is the deep state. So if people don't know about it, they should read up and find out what Palantir actually is and why it's a bad thing that it is being so elevated in recent years.
But unfortunately, watch. They'll help create the hellscape, then like Monsanto or Blackwater, that name will disappear, but the hellscape will continue on, and all the things of yelling at Monsanto, it's like, who are you yelling at? That doesn't even exist anymore. In related news, Palantir wants to bring back the draft as Selective Service Prep's automatic registration. Good grief. It's got me thinking, James, it's kind of like trying to pay taxes here in the States. So Selective Service isn't a draft, you're just forced to do it when you're 18. We can't send you a bill for the taxes that we say that you owe, we just make you schlep around. I think it's all a part of, there's multiple humiliation rituals going on. Oh, Lord my God, is there no help for the widow's son? Will they hear that call in this trial? Get a load of this headline, you guys. Murder trial involving Freemasons, French secret agents opens in Paris court. Taking this from France 24. 22 people went on trial in France on charges of murder and other serious crimes centered on members of a Masonic lodge accused of running hit squads. 13 of the defendants face life imprisonment. Those in the dock include four former military personnel from France's Foreign Intelligence Service, DGSE, two police officers, a retired domestic intelligence officer, a security guard, and of course, two business executives. You gotta keep track of the zeros and ones. They are accused of the murder of a racing driver, the attempted murders of a business coach and a trade unionist, aggravated assault, and of course criminal conspiracy, all behalf on the mafia organized crime network inside the former Athenor Masonic Lodge in the Paris suburb of Puteaux. Several Freemasons from the 20 or so members of the lodge are in the dock. Most of the accused, just between the ages of 30 and 73, have no previous criminal records. It's almost like they were friends with judges for a long time. Five of the suspects are in custody. 16 of them are under judicial supervision, while one woman is appearing in court as a free, sovereign human being. The alleged ringleaders are Athenor, A-T-H-A-N-A-R, Athenor Freemasons Jean-Luc Bagour, Frederic Valliot, and Daniel Beaulieu. They face life in a cage if convicted. So does Beaulieu's right-hand man, Sebastian Leroy, who was accused of carrying out the trio's dirty work himself, or of course through a contractor hitman network. The case was triggered by a botched contract killing in July 2020. Everybody was botching stuff then. When two members of France's parachute regiment were arrested in possession of weapons near the home of business coach Marie-Hélène Dini. Under questioning, they said they thought they had been asked to murder Dini on behalf of the French state on the grounds that she worked for Israeli spy agency Mossad. And that was the point in this story. I was like, this has everything. Why isn't anybody talking about this story? It is unclear what information the prosecution may be able to elicit from Beaulieu. He made an apparent attempt to kill himself in police custody. He needed those Epstein guards. which left him disabled and with an impaired concentration, his lawyer told the AFP. The trial is expected to run for at least 3 months. Now, James, this is not earth-shattering news that will affect your life or your ability to put food on the table or pay your rent, but man, this is a pretty fun conspiriana.
It really is, and it's such a bizarre story, and I hadn't heard anything about this. It wasn't on my radar at all, so I heard it from Morning Monarchy, so thank you for bringing it to my attention. And you point out, yeah, the bizarreness of that. I mean, think about that. They thought they had been asked to murder Dini on behalf of the French state.
This is the picture they gave me. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Who was going to kill?
I don't know. I thought it was the state asking me. I don't know. I was just going to go murder. Yeah, what a bizarre story. But I think, you know, towards the end of the article, they quote Dini's lawyer, Jean-William Vezinet, who says, what my client found terrifying is the fact that key figures in this case, police officers, former DGSI agents, and Freemasons, are precisely the people who are supposed to act for the good of society. What? No, these good, honest representatives of the state cannot possibly be corrupt in any fashion, right? No, as this article points out, as you point out, these are just businessmen and other respected members of the community who don't have any criminal record. How could they be possibly involved in a murder cult like this? Just bizarre, just really interesting stuff. As you say, I mean, this isn't going to directly impact anyone's life out there in the audience, but it does point to the types of machinations that are going on at much deeper levels of deep state type activities that even people, whatever, they're being questioned by police and they are facing, you know, death penalty or whatever. So, of course, they're going to say whatever they're going to say. But it's plausible that maybe they really did think they were acting on behalf of the intelligence agencies or something, because, you know, isn't this how it works? They just kind of recruit you to go kill someone and you go do it and then you become like an important operative. Maybe that is how it works. How would you know unless you've done it before? So again, it's just one of those stories that offers a window into the level of operations like this and things that, who knows, maybe going on in your town, but you won't know about it unless and until it gets exposed in some kind of, you know, botched killing that that ends up in court.
And we only know about this because they screwed it up. I mean, as they say, inner city gangs, well, you got to whack somebody to get into the club. You got to prove your worth. You got to put some skin in the game to where we know you're as in trouble as we are if any of this all goes down. And stay with me here. Maybe whacking Mossad is the good for society. Our third and final story on New World next week. You're like, not touching that one. And then next week is like, Pilato, I don't know where he went. Whew. Our third and final story on New World next week, episode 627. Smoking ban for people born after 2008 agreed as landmark bill clears the parliament from the independent. Children who were born on or after January 1st, 2009 will face a lifelong ban on buying cigarettes after the tobacco and vapes bill cleared parliament. Both the Commons and Lords settled on a final draft of the legislation, which is designed to stop people age 17 or younger from ever even taking up the nasty smoking. Puberty blockers and MAGA jabs still, of course, highly recommended. When it receives royal assent, ministers will also get new powers, which is what it's really all about. New powers to regulate tobacco vaping and nicotine products after we flip the switch from exploitation to prohibition, including their flavors and packaging. Remember, flavors artificial in anything. Foods and cigarettes, always usually pretty much a bad idea. Health Minister Baroness Marin told the Lords on Monday, "This afternoon marks the end of this bill's journey throughout Parliament. It is a landmark bill. It will create a smoke-free generation. It is, in fact, the biggest health public intervention in a generation." I messed up the quote at the beginning. "And I can assure all noble lords it will save lives." Lord Nasby, a conservative former MP member of Parliament, said the tobacco and vapes bill does upset a great many people in that industry, including retailers, who should have already seen the writing on the wall and shifted over to be selling, you know, some other new drug that they're hyping up. You know, one of those Ozempic things I hear is super popular. James included on this site, poll question, do you support the smoking ban for anyone born after 2008? Yes, it's a landmark public health move. Yes, but enforcement will be difficult. No, it restricts personal freedom too much. I saw perhaps for the first time on a poll that said, I don't care, just show me the results, was one of the options you could vote for. What we really need is a proper understanding of how we educate people not to take up smoking. Responding to Lord Nasby, Lady Marin said, I can overall assure Lord Nasby, as I've done on a number of occasions, about how closely we've worked with retailers, and we will continue to do so. But surely, the powers that shouldn't be wouldn't stop there with the ban hammer. Remember, when you carry and walk around with a ban hammer, you see nails everywhere. Mobile phones to be banned in schools in England under new plans, and Trump anti-Semitism envoy warns EU official of World Cup bans? Oh, that's right. Anywhere Israel appears, they are booed and jeered and yelled at from all around the world, and they want to make that illegal. Not killing little kids and taking property, but, you know, like saying stuff about it. James, wild. I was just talking to a buddy. They were saying cigarettes were $17 in Boston.
Here we are, James. We are at the brink of eliminating the scourge of tobacco use, or at least the scourge of smoking in particular. Yay, I guess. All right. Well, what could be the problem with this? Why would you silly liberty-oriented fuddy-duddies care about a smoking ban? Aren't you for public health? Well, interesting way of framing it, because I have a little story for people who do not understand the true nature and scope of the smoking bans that are going into place all around the world. And if you don't know about that, I wrote an editorial last year called The Strange But True Story of How Smoking Bans Paved the Way for Global Government. And it is specifically about that interesting time in mid to late 2000s, early the first decade of the 2000s, that people might remember. At that time, in country after country after country all around the world, suddenly they started banning smoking indoors, including in bars and other places where it would have been unthinkable even a few years ago. You can't ban smoking in a bar. What are you going to do next? Ban drinking? Most people just thought it was some sort of, this is just some sort of local ordinance or some sort of national thing that's been passed. No, that was an international agreement, a convention that was signed at the World Health Organization. It was a WHO enacted piece of, not legislation per se, but a convention that was signed off on by all WHO members that started implementing these smoking bans all around the world. And it is that process, that convention process, that's being a decision that's being taken at some international level in some faraway place that you don't know even exists, let alone what they're voting on, is this cornerstone of the coming global governance. Government? No. Governance that is coming into view. So this is just one aspect of that. And, you know, no one's going to be surprised with my take on this. Hey, if you're against smoking, great, don't smoke. But responsible adult human beings can choose what to do with their own bodies, including smoking. And it's ridiculous that we're going to start banning it based on an arbitrary year of birth, 2008. Like, again, I don't know how anyone squares the circle and wraps the appropriate mental pretzel knots in order to make that make sense. But however you do, it is a fundamental abridgment of the bodily autonomy of the individual, and anyone who advocates for the bodily autonomy in this case, because it's good for them, are going to be the very ones who are going to end up getting jabbed by the genetic slurry or whatever else comes next. Because, hey, you were for the smoking ban, so you've already implicitly said that the state owns your body.
I think the way so much of it goes is they get you addicted to ciggies. They get you addicted to smartphones. They get you addicted to whatever vice they might be pushing around. And again, we all do have free will. Probably not a lot of guns put to heads over this. Then they say you can't have it. They want that complete control over you. It is, I mean, it's every abusive relationship. It's every bit of gas. It's every movie that we've seen, and that's essentially what they do. And fortunately, we have read their screenplays here over the last nearly 17 years of New World Next Week. That is episode 627. We run newworldnextweek.com, your source for Media Monarchy and Corbett gear. I also have the post office box here in New Mexico, and I play the exclusive audio of these New World Next Week episodes before the video is published anywhere. And you can hear that at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. James, I don't think I got my co-subscribe button link from you last week for the YouTube video.
I totally forgot about that. Yes.
All right. We've only done it like three times. My other question, you're not dead, are you, from the latest Japanese earthquake?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry to admit that. Yes, damn. I am. No, I'm not. But thank you to all the people who were they're kind people who are concerned and writing me to ask if I'm dead. And I don't really know how to respond to such an email other than to say, I am not dead, but thank you for your concern. We were joking the other day, we should start a single serving website. Is James Corbett dead in the latest Japanese earthquake.com? And, I will let you set it to yes when I am actually dead, okay?
Because we had that version. I found the old one from Portland. Is it snowing in Portland? And it's just a giant page that says yes in green or no in red. That's called a single serving website?
I believe that was the terminology I saw, but it seems like a 2010s kind of thing. I don't know if people do that anymore.
Well, we've been doing this show since the 2010s and even prior to the 2010s. So, James, there is 627 in the can. I appreciate you, buddy.
All right. Thank you. Take care. See you next week.
Thanks.